Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it is Dom time. Good Tuesday. During that break, and it ties into what we're going to talk about, our attorney really helps out over the years. Wally Zimmalong with us here in a second with Dom. I saw this Annenberg study, Dan, that they have out. Constitution Day is this coming Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, 17th. About the uptick in the number of Americans that know the three branches of government now, that know anything about the Constitution.
Don't ask Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes, but it is stunning how few do and admit to it that can't answer just the three branches of government. And, of course, with the First Amendment, they seem to know about freedom of speech, maybe freedom to assembly, protest. The other freedoms under that are not so much. There's a lot in
here. And if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, rather all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, start working in 2020.
What did you pull? You must have that just on speed dial. I didn't even anticipate that. That was quick draw McGraw. All right, so while he's here to break down what this judge said yesterday, but the lawsuit that he heard me talking about, this swimming pool guy, he and I went back and forth of all these people out there who were losers by Wolfman Hack making these arbitrary decisions and his minions. And I have a tip for him. Man, I have never practiced law. Well, I have, but not officially, Dan. I could grill this guy, this deputy chief of staff, Robinson, Sam Robinson, who's in this big decision saying the shutdown in Pennsylvania was unconstitutional. He's the guy that says, well, we're trying to replace it with a new normal. So we're never going to take these restrictions away. Can you imagine? And he also said, we didn't have time to determine what is an essential business or not an essential business. We were under the gun. So we just did it. Wow, what the heck is in this website and all those emails? That's what I want. And I know Wally Zimmalong is like the old man in the sea, or no, Ahab. We're going to get it, and we're going to see what's inside there, and I don't think it's pretty. He joins us here on the Dom Show on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Wally, welcome in. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me back on, Dom.
Well, Wally, give us your overall summation of this. This is long, this judge yesterday, on all the right things, I think, constitutionally, but what does it mean in practical terms now or in the near future?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's a 66-page opinion from Judge Stickman out in the Western District of Pennsylvania. I'm still actually wading through it, but my initial reaction is, wow. And it's a huge decision. It's a huge decision not only for Pennsylvania, but potentially nationally. It's certainly got implications for New Jersey as well. And of all the things that I can take from the decision after my first run, I've tried to distill it into three things that I think are most important for your listeners. The first is something that you just touched on, but something you actually started talking about back in March, Dom, which is once guys like Governor Wolf and Murphy enact these emergency powers, they're never going to give it up, or they're going to give it up without a fight. And you mentioned the chief of staff, Robinson. His testimony just underscored that. And it's testimony that really struck a nerve with Judge Stickman because he cites from it in his opinion. And there was a colloquy on cross-examination where it was, well, what happens after the green phase? And he didn't have an answer. Squab's basically never going to go back to the way it was. And what's important about this case is it starts to claw back the emergency powers that the governors like Wolf and Murphy have been relying on. So that's it's important from that perspective. It's the first case of that kind. To do that really nationally. Mm-hmm. The second reason is this is the first case that a court has had the chance to hear evidence and testimony regarding the emergency orders. This sort of snuck up on us. It's not something that I was aware of that was occurring, but apparently the court heard testimony from folks like Chief of Staff Robinson and others. Why that's important is previously the cases that have been decided ruling on these emergency orders were doing so on an emergent basis without the benefit of what we call a record. That's the testimony in court where a court can weigh the credibility of witnesses, hear evidence, where witnesses are subject to cross-examination, where witnesses are going to have to explain themselves. Previously, courts haven't had the benefit of that. And it's very difficult to get a court to issue an order, especially one ruling an emergency order or a government order unconstitutional without a record. And it's only in the rarest of circumstances that we've had that. But now we have a record. The third reason is now we have some real law. And the governor has said he intends to appeal this decision to the Third Circuit. While it's important is that the case law that many of the cases that came previous were relying upon were over 100 years old. We haven't had a situation in this country dealing with emergency powers from governors for nearly 100 years. And it's something that Judge Stickman pointed out in his order. He said, you know, the closest case we can arrive at this is a decision from 1905 requiring four smallpox vaccinations. And as Judge Stickman properly ruled, the problem with relying upon cases from that era is it doesn't fit into modern constitutional jurisprudence. In fact, in 1905, we were still operating under the jurisprudence that separate but equal was constitutional, and things have changed since then. So this is going to get a fresh set of eyes from hopefully the Third Circuit. Now, why the Third Circuit's opinion would be important on this is the Third Circuit's opinion is not only binding on Pennsylvania, but New Jersey and Delaware as well.
Ah, exactly. Okay.
So that's going to give guidance now that the exact ruling is not going to per se invalidate anything Governor Murphy has done. But the standard of review and the holdings from the Third Circuit will dictate going forward what Governor Murphy can do. And it also is going to give courts a chance to review it under strong guidance for what he did in the past. So this is big. This is big because of all those three reasons.
Now, Wally, what you're involved in is of a similar, not exactly on this, and the news is off on this, and you're trying to get them corrected. The judge did not throw out your lawsuit. Do you have handy the swimming pool guy? You and I talked. We had like 10 or 15 people that called me that made the case. This is what still infuriates me, that they just rushed in. They gave waivers to some people, not others. Some were right on top of each other. One was in our area, a swimming pool guy, that was the best case. That's still ongoing. Who is that person? What was his company and what happened?
It was Paradise Pools. It was a pool company up in Bucks County. He applied for a waiver and was denied a waiver, and a pool company down the street, only a few blocks, I think, was granted a waiver. Identical pool company, identical services. Now, the case we filed in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, contrary to the fake news on Philly.com, was not thrown out by Judge Surik 2 weeks ago. In fact, he let stand our equal protection claim, which is one of the claims that was ruled upon by Judge Stickman out in the Western District. That attacked the constitutionality of whether or not they could pick what businesses were essential, what were non-essential, what were life-sustaining, what were non-life-sustaining, which businesses could get waivers, and which businesses could not get waivers. The case out in the Western District was further along procedurally. As I said, they've had the chance to hear evidence. We haven't gotten that far yet. We are entering that phase now. We're entering the discovery phase where the governor is now going to have to give answers to us under oath, under the penalty of perjury, explaining these programs. Why that case is important in the Western District is not only because it is providing precedent to the Eastern District. It's not binding, but it provides guidance to Judge Sirik. What is binding is Chief of Staff Robinson's under oath testimony that he provided in that case. And you can be sure that I'm going to obtain a transcript of that testimony and not only use the testimony that was quoted by Judge Stickman in his opinion, but all of the testimony.
And now, Wally, one of the key things there is this guy Robinson, man, you get him on the essentially, the judge says he testifies that they were in an emergency, so they didn't spend time coming up with a metric, which is always the key, of life-sustaining, essential, and not. They just made decisions.
Right. That was very important because it showed that the governor did not use any sort of rational basis. That's the test in a case like this for an equal protection violation. Was the decision rational? And I'll be honest, it's a low standard for a government to demonstrate rational basis. And the fact that Judge Stickman discounted Mr. Robinson's testimony entirely and said that doesn't justify as a rational basis for the government's action, that is a strong rebuke to Governor Wolf.
Yeah, and again, when we get to the bottom of this and we see the emails, the back and forth of why one versus the other, I think that's going to be stunning, and maybe it'll set a precedent here politically that you're just not going to be able to do this, that we will get to the bottom of it. At best, it'll be embarrassing. At worst, it could be criminal, some of the stuff that went on here. I don't want to draw you into that. It's my own conclusion, though, and it's been maddening to me. We had on the head of Commerce and Development after he spilled his guts a little bit with us. Never could get him on again. He shuts down, Governor Wolf, the Office of Public Information, he says, because of the pandemic, so no Freedom of Information Act, to get how they made these decisions. And I know there are bigger things here, Wally, but I got to tell you, when that guy called me on a Saturday, the Paradise Pool guy and these others, my heart, my anger, thank God you were out there to pursue this. It's personal. It just infuriates us. And this judge said this one company lost $300,000, a small business. Consumers still wanted lamps. They didn't go to this H.W. McDonald. They went to Walmart then. They didn't give up the desire to have a lamp.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the things that is pointed out in the opinion is something that you've been discussing on your program is the fact that the small mom-and-pop stores were closed down, but the big-box retail stores were able to maintain business essentially as usual, was subject to some restrictions. And I think that was the nail in the coffin, from what I could tell for Judge Stickman, was there's just no rational basis why the big box retail can sell the same product and provide the same service, but the mom and pop store cannot. And that, I'll tell you, we've made that central in our lawsuit, because what Secretary Levine says in her emergency order is, we need to close down businesses, these so-called non-life-sustaining businesses, because they're a vector for disease. As we say in our lawsuit, the Commonwealth never explains why the small mom-and-pop businesses are a vector for disease, but the big-box retail businesses are not, or those businesses that are mom-and-pop that got the waiver. It makes no sense whatsoever. And I think we're starting to see that it makes no sense. And we're also starting to see, I think, the limits of ruling by executive fiat, something that's starting to come up. So we're starting to get some results here.
Absolutely. Couldn't be thrilled more. And again, in your hands, with your skill, the fodder from this judge, I think, will open all this up. And this guy Robinson testifying, I think it was both chaotic on some levels what they were doing, but also, I think there's a hidden agenda here with some people. We saw that. Remember Wolf's company, former company, whatever it is, the woodworking, they were exempt. The candy guy, who was a Republican, he was exempt. And then this case of this guy, Wally, when he called me, the Paradise Pool guy, And I think he said there's one 2 miles, another 5 miles away. What do we say in America to a guy who can't make a living for his family and his employees, and yet he can drive 2 to 5 minutes and see the same business open up?
Well, it should not only shock the conscience for a person like that, a small business owner, but then you really see the bounds of executive power are limitless. So if they can do it to that person, what else can they do? And you see this. You see this meddling in trying to micromanage this virus in a way that really impacts everyone's livelihood in some way or another. I think we're starting to turn the corner, and we're seeing the limits of this, and we're getting pushback, not only from the business community, but for individuals that are saying there's got to be some logic here. Everybody agrees that we should take steps to mitigate risk, but there's got to be logic behind it, and we can't suspend. And that was a big part of Judge Stickman's opinion, which was great. We can't just suspend the Constitution because of this emergency, and there's limits.
Absolutely. Well, we thank you. Thanks for all the dogged work you do. You got several lawsuits going on with us here, and again, I hope we get into that discovery phase very, very soon. When you get the transcript, let us know. I'd love to see the testimony of this deputy chief of staff. To me, it's riveting stuff. Thank you, Wowie, very much.
Thanks a lot, Dom. Thanks for all your help. Take care.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.